Please take your Bibles and open them to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 3. I would ask you to stand for the reading of God's holy word. Galatians chapter 3. I'll begin at verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by his works of the law, by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. And the Scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are the blessed with believing Abraham. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped, lacking in nothing. You may be seated. The epistle to the Galatians was written by the Apostle Paul to counteract the false teaching that the Galatians had been influenced by. False brethren, reportedly from James, had come from Jerusalem and were preaching to the Galatians a different gospel, which Paul says is really no gospel at all. The different gospel that they were preaching is that a man is saved not by faith in Christ alone, but that a man is saved through circumcision and obedience to the law of Moses. They were seeking to add the works of human righteousness to the work and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is astonished and appalled by this, as we find in chapter 1. He is amazed that they are so quickly turning away from the true gospel for a false gospel. This is a situation that Paul cannot tolerate, that Paul cannot abide. This is a situation that needs to be confronted. And so the apostle, in boldness, confronts this false gospel. He seeks to encourage the Galatians to turn away from the false gospel that they were being taught by false brethren back to the true gospel. And what is that true gospel? Well, that true gospel is the gospel of grace. It is a gospel which tells us that Jesus Christ was sent by the Father into this world to take on human flesh, that he might go to the cross and suffer and die for elect sinners, that he might pay the full price of their sin and satisfy the holiness and justice of God Almighty. And that through faith they might receive the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or to put it in theological terms, that the righteousness of Christ might be imputed to them by faith. So that they are saved by faith. Their confidence is in Christ and in His righteousness, and not in their own righteousness, not in their own works, not in their own obedience. And Paul wants to make that extremely clear, and he does so in this epistle. As we come to chapter 3 this morning, the Apostle Paul appeals to the personal experience of the Galatians beginning in verse 1 through verse 5. And then he appeals to the Scripture, making particular reference to a man in the Old Testament who is exceedingly important in Jewish thinking, that man's name being Abraham. And so he is seeking, through appealing to their personal experience, and also particularly to Abraham, he is seeking to drive home the point that justification is by faith alone, in Christ alone, and human works merit nothing and add nothing to the sufficient work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning we want to consider the personal experience of the Galatians that Paul points to, particularly in the asking of four questions that we find beginning in verse 2. And we want to see how Paul is emphasizing there that salvation or justification is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the first question that Paul asks is found in verse 2. We covered verse 1 2 weeks ago, so I'm not going to go back there this morning. We're going to begin at verse 2 with the first question. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, notice that there is a contrast in this question. It is a contrast between the works of the law and the hearing of faith. Did they receive the Spirit, he asked them, by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, this is the first time in the book of Galatians where Paul mentions the Spirit. Now, it might interest you to know that all told in the book of Galatians, the Spirit is mentioned 16 times. And in those 16 times the Spirit is mentioned, he is referring not to the Spirit of man, he is referring to the Holy Spirit. And that is who he is referring to here in the first question that he asked the Galatians. Paul's mention of the Spirit is a reminder of God's triune being. There is one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Scripture teaches us that each person is involved in the salvation of elect sinners. The Father sends the Son to redeem the elect through paying the redemption price. The Son, in obedience to the Father, took on human flesh and accomplished the redemption of those for whom he died. And then the Son sends the Spirit, and the Spirit comes and applies redemption to the elect. Now, it's important that you know that Paul's question presupposes that anyone who has a genuine faith in Christ receives the Holy Spirit at the moment they believe. Now, it is important for you to know that and for me to highlight this for you, I believe, because most of you are aware of the fact that there are those in the church who teach that it is possible to be a Christian and not have the Holy Spirit. And if you want to have the Holy Spirit, you must pray for the Holy Spirit You must have someone come and lay hands on you that you might receive the Holy Spirit. And then you'll know that you received the Holy Spirit when you speak with tongues. This oftentimes is referred to as the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the second blessing. Again, there are those who teach that it is possible to be a Christian and not have the Holy Spirit. But Paul's question assumes that those who have believed are in possession of the Holy Spirit, or should I say, that the Holy Spirit possesses them. That they have received the Holy Spirit, and they received the Holy Spirit not at some time in the distant, in distance from the time of their believing, but at the moment they believed. Now, in Paul's epistles, we learn that this is in fact the case, that a person receives the Holy Spirit when they believe. For example, in Ephesians chapter 1:13, we read, "In whom you also are," that is, you are in Christ, "after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also," now listen, "after you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory." The guarantee that a person who believes will receive all the blessings that Christ purchased for them is the Holy Spirit, who is given when a person believes. The word for guarantee is also used in 2 Corinthians and means down payment or first installment. When you were saved by believing in Christ, God gave you the Holy Spirit as a first installment or as a down payment of all those blessings that are secured by Christ and that will come to you at a later time. But the guarantee that you will receive all the blessings that Christ purchased for you is the Holy Spirit. He is the engagement ring that God has placed upon the finger of His people so that they might know that the one who is the bridegroom will indeed take them for His bride. And that when He comes to receive His people unto Himself, they will sit down with Him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. How do we know that? It is because God has given us the Spirit. When did we receive the Spirit? We received it when we believed. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, Paul says that if a person does not have the Holy Spirit, then that person does not belong to Christ. He writes, "Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His." There is no such thing as a Christian who does not have the Holy Spirit. Well, the question that Paul asked here of the Galatians is this: how did you receive the Holy Spirit? Did you receive Him by the works of the law? Or did you receive Him by the hearing? He's talking here about the hearing of the gospel. The hearing of the gospel by faith. Now let me remind you that the phrase "the works of the law" is a phrase that we have run into in Galatians prior to this. It means in obedience to the law. And when he is talking about the works of the law or obedience to the law, he is talking about the entire law of Moses. He is emphasizing to the Galatians that the Holy Spirit is not a reward based upon a person's own spiritual achievement. It is a gift granted to those who believe in Christ. The gift of the Holy Spirit was not something they gained. It was something they were given. And they were given the Holy Spirit when they believed. Holy Spirit is not a reward for obedience. The Holy Spirit is a gift given by God to those who believe savingly in His Son for salvation. And salvation is a gift. It is not something we merit. It is not something that we achieve. We look to Christ and to Christ alone for salvation as He is offered in the Gospels. Now, once the Galatians were forced to admit that they received the Holy Spirit by faith, the argument is over. This is why Paul said he wanted to ask them one question. Grant him that the Spirit comes by faith alone, and the whole matter is settled. The Judaizers' doctrine is proven to be false. The Holy Spirit comes by faith. Justification comes by faith. The second question that Paul asked the Galatians is, after asking them again, "Are you so foolish?" And let me remind you that the Greek word that Paul uses in Galatians twice that is translated foolish is not the Greek word moros, or that we would translate as moron. That's used in the Gospels of Christ when He tells us that we're not to do that. We're not to call other people morons. The word here is a different word, and it means to be unthinking. It means that a person doesn't think about or consider what is being said to them. And that's what the Galatians were guilty of. They weren't thinking through what the Judaizers had said to them in relationship to the truth of the gospel that Paul preached to them. And they were falling prey to the teaching of the Judaizers, and that's why Paul says they're foolish. They were behaving like unthinking, untaught men who didn't have the capacity to think. And he knows that is not true. He has taught them, and they are able to think and reason through things. Well, his second question then is, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Here the contrast is between the flesh and the Spirit. Now, the term flesh here does not refer to skin and bones, but to human nature. The human nature apart from God's Spirit, from human nature in all its weakness and sin. So Paul's question is essentially this: are you trying to be perfected by your own sinful efforts? Now, the very suggestion is absurd, but it is precisely what the Judaizers were teaching to the Galatians. They said that faith was fine as far as it went, but justification was completed through human effort and work. John Stott summarizes their theology as follows, and I quote, "They did not deny that you must believe in Jesus for salvation, but they stressed that you must be circumcised and keep the law as well. In other words, you must let Moses finish what Christ has begun. Or rather, you yourself must finish, by your obedience to the law, what Christ has begun. You must add your works to the work of Christ. You must finish Christ's unfinished work. However, there is never any need to finish the work of Christ. What Christ did, is finished and was sufficient. The writer of Hebrews makes that abundantly clear. The sacrificial system of the Old Covenant has ceased. Why? Because Christ was crucified. Because Christ died an atoning sacrificial sin. Because Christ's sacrifice was sufficient, no other sacrifices are necessary. Christ accomplished your salvation on the cross, and His work is absolutely sufficient. There is nothing that we need to do to add to what Christ has already done in order for us to be justified. For us to add our work to that of Christ would be to ruin His priceless work. One writer said, and I quote, "It would be something like retracing Babe Ruth's signature on a baseball. Rather than adding to its value, doing so would completely destroy it." And that is what would happen if we add our work to the work of Christ. It destroys His work, makes it insufficient, makes it of no account or of little value. Now, I want to underline here that though it looks as though Paul is talking about sanctification, he is really talking about justification. Sanctification is a process by which the sinner becomes more holy, and it is true that sanctification follows justification. But justification never gets left behind. We will never stand before God and be declared righteous on the basis of our own works. We can stand before God only on the basis of the righteousness of Jesus Christ received by faith. Once and forever, we are justified before God by the righteousness of Christ that we have received by faith. To be sure, we are becoming more and more holy all the time. But having been justified, we are being sanctified. But we cannot use our obedience, as imperfect as it is, to establish our own righteousness before God. To put it another way, and do get this, we cannot base our justification on our sanctification. Our righteousness in the sight of God is nothing but filthy rags. And if we stand in our own righteousness, we are standing in dirty clothing. And we cannot approach God's holy hill dressed in the filthiness of our own works. Even those works that we were enabled to do by the Spirit are still, as Vaughn pointed out in his prayer today, are still tainted by, still affected by sin. The only way we can stand before God and be declared righteous in His sight is through faith in Jesus Christ. The third question is found in verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? One of the reasons it would have been foolish for the Galatians to return to the law had to do with the hardships they had faced. They apparently had suffered for their faith in Christ. They had apparently experienced hardship because of their faith in Christ. One can only imagine what they experienced. As we look back to the book of Acts and look at those things that Paul experienced when he preached the gospel to southern Galatia, in those towns which now have a church in them. Paul suffered. Paul was persecuted. Paul was run out of town. It is very likely that those who were saved by grace through faith, as Paul preached the gospel, suffered the same sorts of things that Paul and Barnabas experienced when they preached in Galatia. But why would you do that, Paul is saying? If you're justified by works. Because that's what the Jewish people of that day believed. That a person could be justified, declared righteous in the sight of God, have a good standing before God and with God based upon their own obedience and adherence to the law. Paul makes that clear in Romans, and he also makes that clear in his own experience. He was trying to be saved in that way. But you can't be saved in that way. You're only saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did they suffer what they suffered? Because of the gospel that Paul preached. If what he preached wasn't true. But what he preached was the truth. And it was, and is, and remains the true gospel. Well, Paul goes on to a fourth question, and that's found in verse 5. He says, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? There you have the contrast again between what? The works of the law and the hearing of faith. I remember what Paul says in Romans, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, Paul speaks here, the thing that is different, this question is very similar to the one he asked in verse 2, but the thing that's different here is the mention of miracles. Now, oftentimes, as we go through the book of Acts, we find the apostles preaching and teaching as they have been sent forth by the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we find them doing, particularly the apostles Peter and Paul? We find them doing miracles. There are sick people who are healed. There is an occasional person who is raised from the dead. Miracles are being performed in order to authenticate the message that the apostles are preaching. And those miracles were performed by faith, not through the works of the law. So Paul is emphasizing in these questions to the Galatian people that justification is by faith and not by the works of the law. You say, well, Paul is beating a dead horse. He's hitting this thing and he's beating it to death. Well, you have to understand the danger that the Galatians are in. If they reject the true gospel and believe a false gospel, what's the result? The result is they are lost. In order to be saved, one must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And this is a good warning for us to remember that our justification, our right standing before God, is not dependent in any way on our own works. We are not justified by believing in Christ and by the things that we do. But we can sometimes fall into the trap of thinking that way. Can't we? We sometimes do. Oh, I haven't done enough to be accepted in the sight of God. My life's not perfect enough for God to accept me. I've stumbled. I've had ungodly thoughts. I have said things that I shouldn't have said. I've gossiped. I've slandered. I've used my tongue in a wicked and vile way. I've done this. I've done that. God will not accept me. Well, all of us do sin and fall short of the glory of God, do we not? And even though we have been saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, we still sin. We still fall into temptation. And yet the Scripture declares that even though we still sin, our standing before God is not affected by that sin. Paul says in Romans, he puts it in the past tense, having been justified. There is therefore now no what? No condemnation in Christ Jesus. When you are struggling, and I don't mean that we are to take sin lightly. You know that we are not. I don't mean that we are not supposed to be concerned about growing in holiness, because the Scripture makes it clear that we are. But what I say to you is that your standing before God is never dependent upon what you do. And so when you're struggling and you feel like in your own soul, God can't accept me. Look at the way I am. Look at the kind of person I am. Look at the things I have done. Oh, I wish that I hadn't done them. Oh, I know that there's sin. What does that indicate? That indicates that you have a heart that has been changed by God, that you belong to Him, but you don't feel worthy of that. You don't. Listen. Here's what you need to do. You need to look again to Christ. Look to Him and His perfect righteousness. And remember that you have received that righteousness by faith. And let the Holy Spirit bring comfort to your heart. Then I would ask this question. Of all who are here, what is your faith in for justification? Is your faith in Christ, or is it in the works of the law? By the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone, God declares a person righteous. If you have never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, let today be that day. Cast yourself upon Christ. Receive His righteousness through faith. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that the Apostle Paul had such a heart for You and for Your people and for the truth, that when they strayed from that truth, He was willing to take the time to correct them. Heavenly Father, we pray that we might learn from this correction that Paul gives to the Galatians, never to trust in our own works for salvation, but to trust only and forever in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, how thankful we are that when Jesus died on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished." All that needed to be done to accomplish our redemption was done by the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul declares that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Oh, Father, bring that home to our hearts, that we might rest in Christ and in Christ alone for salvation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.